This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, look into your wallet.
I am sorry I'm late. I came, so our studio right now is kind of a swamp and it's gross. And we're waiting for these, because we don't have the cool fans yet.
Wasn't that a good idea?
That was a very good idea. And I hope that they would come before we recorded. They're not.
Why? It sounds kind of like sweet. Like someone like dropped a bottle of perfume outside or something. What is that?
Oh, that is probably because I literally just like washed my face with grapefruit face wash and then put on makeup again because I felt so disgusting, which is why I am late and Max was here prepared. Right?
I came in and I saw Alex has two Coke Zeros and one Diet Coke.
Oh, no. No.
It's more than that?
I'm not sure. So this is a Coke Zero and then a Coke Zero Sugar, zero calorie soda. I don't know the difference, so I was just really excited.
I was like, ooh, this is making me, looking at Alex's like array of beverages set up here, I was like, this is making me very thirsty for a Diet Coke. So I got up and got a Diet Coke.
Which is definitely going to be superior. Always will be superior. But,
guys, I don't feel funny today.
No.
My emotions are that I'm very sad and frustrated.
Ah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. This will pick you right up. I have a large ball jar of iced coffee, which I have drunk most of, and I have a Canada Dry original sparkling seltzer water.
Now, how did you make? Did you make the iced coffee? Or did you buy it?
Make it myself.
Okay. Now, what's your method here? Are you making regular coffee and adding ice to it?
Yeah, that's most of the recipe. What I do is I make coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I make coffee in a Melitta number 4 filter single hit dingus, and I make it pretty strong.
Uh huh.
And that makes a large, what you might call a coffee mug. I mean, it's larger than a coffee cup. I mean, if you ever look at an actual cup, that ain't no coffee cup. It's a mug. Then I fill my ball mason jar. My ball jar, I fill it all the way to the top with ice, and then I pour the coffee in. Sometimes, if I'm real thirsty,
you put the hot coffee right hot. Over the ice.
Yeah, the hot stays hot. And then
That's for sure. That's the way to go. That's called the Japanese method. You brew the hot coffee right over the ice.
Oh well, okay. No. I cheat a little bit. I mean, I make it into a coffee cup because I worry about glass breaking. You know, you're asking a lot from a physics standpoint of glass when you put ice and too much hot directly in the same thing. Also, my dingus won't fit because they've changed the Melitta filter. It's very upsetting.
Have you seen the video of the guy on the internet? This is an old internet video, but there's a video of like an old man who inserts a mason jar into his anus and then it shatters.
That's immediately what my brain went to. Why is that?
Because Merlin's talking about a glass mason jar full of coffee breaking. How am I not supposed to think of that? And then the video is like 20 minutes long and 18 and a half minutes of it are him pulling huge shards of glass out of his asshole.
It shows you that really, at the end of the day, the human body is a land of contrast. The rectum, the rectum will accommodate a ball jar,
or as the Native Americans called it, his maze hole.
I just came back from New England, where there's a thing you do, where you have a carnival style game with two like wooden things with holes in it, and you throw bean bags, and it's unironically called cornholing. And
You've never seen bros? That's like the national sport of bros. It's like bro lawn sport Olympics. You've never seen that before? Alex, do you not see this like during the summer? You drive out and there's like bros outside of their house like throwing, just like, I mean, it's the sport of the, I mean, of the truly brain dead. I mean, you stand there just like hucking
how's it going, Rhode
bags
Island?
Into these wooden
You're gonna upset Lil Rhodey. Don't upset Lil Rhodey. There's a lot of angry Portuguese there. And so they put it on signs. It says they have lobster rolls and cornholing. Come on in, bring the family, have some cornholing. And they don't even laugh about it. They don't even think it's funny.
Everybody's laughing and talking and cornholing except for Buster.
You know what? You know how a lot of people think about what their legacy is going to be, and you know how people remember then on the internet. Hashtag follow up. Merlin, have you seen the game? It's called ladder golf, and you throw two balls against a ladder.
Am I right?
It's the worst.
There's only one place I've ever played it, and that would be Rhode Island.
Yeah, yeah, and I can't confirm this, but I was like, oh, is this like testicle toss? And and then my cousin put it on Urban Dictionary, and I'm pretty sure that I gave this the name testicle toss, and you Google testicle toss and what pops up. But ladder toss. I'm very proud of this.
I call it yard nuts. But the with a Z. But the it's that might be a discovering calculus type situation. You know?
A lot of people did it at the same time. Yeah.
Right, that's a thirsty name. A lot of people are gonna come up with a test. But you know.
Do you guys still able to? I was thinking about this morning. Are you guys still able to sort of, I don't know how to put this, to like freshly process the idea that Donald Trump is the president in a way where it still is as implausible and ridiculous on its face as it was, like, as it would have been like three years ago?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Like,
I get it
right when I wake up in the morning and I'm like taking my morning shit. And sometimes I think like, oh my God, Donald Trump, the guy, the fake millionaire from TV. With the crazy haircut, is the fucking president.
Mm-hmm.
I get it repeatedly and on different levels of profundity where, I mean, like real talk, I mean, yesterday was extremely stressful to me. This whole last few days has been, I came back from this trip and I was like, this is so great.
For our listeners, we're recording this on Wednesday. By the time you hear this, you might think Merlin's talking about whatever atrocity happens on Thursday.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Which Nazis
are we talking about today?
Ugh. The good ones.
Oh, God.
It doesn't matter, but I might have mentioned this to you, but I came back from this trip. I came back a few days early to do podcasts, and I had a whole day set aside. It was like Saturday mm-hmm. was going to be my day to catch up on sleep and unplug from the internet and read books,
mm-hmm.
and I made the category error of looking at my phone, and then all day long, that's all I did, and it's been really stressful, like super duper stressful, but no, to your point though, Max, honestly, It's shocking how much this still hits me with different levels of profundity. Where there's the baseline feeling that I have like literally all day long. It's my thought keeps coming back to and then there'll be something like him in the lobby of the building with his name on it saying what he said yesterday, and it really, really, really hits me. And I'm just like, I can't believe it's been 200 and however many days, and it's still not fully sinking in.
The human mind has an amazing capacity for sort of acceptance. Like there's this great George
much like the cornhole.
Much like the cornhole. I mean, it can widen and adapt to ideas of unimaginable girth.
But eventually, it crushes the glass. Now you're.
Well, and then you spend your whole morning pulling shards of glass out of your mind.
Oh God! Well, that's the thing. Like, if you have a messed up brain like mine, and you go into these irrational thought spirals of anxiety, like I do on a daily basis, you're used to it. But now it's like, oh, I am stressed and anxious about a reasonable thing. Like my dark, terrible thought spirals, they make sense now, and it's just not.
I'm not even personally in that much trouble, right?
Yeah.
I'm the canonical white guy, mm-hmm. and it's like, holy shit. I'm tired of thinking this. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of saying it. But every time one of these horrible things happens, one of these horrible things is said, and then 1,000 things aren't said, there's like a 17-year-old black girl who's sitting there and hearing that, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's a 70-year-old, like, you know, person from Mexico, or it's a 90-year-old Holocaust survivor, whoever it is, or it's just another canonical white guy, and you sit there and it doesn't stop hurting profoundly.
This great George Carlin bit that I think about all the time, and he said, wouldn't it be weird if the only way people could die was that their heads suddenly exploded without warning? If there was simply no other cause of death, one day you'd be sitting there having a hot chocolate and suddenly your head would explode. You know something? I bet people would get used to it. And I think about that all the time, because if that happened, we totally would. It would be shocking for 1 year, and then everyone would get used to it, and they'd just be like, "Yeah, it's the head explosions. It happens now." And it is such a struggle for me to look around the world or look at the news and get myself into that headspace of like, "Oh my God, people's heads are exploding! Like this sucks."
Either way, like the millennials are like, oh, cassette tapes, what's that? And you're like, hey, I like cassette tapes are how it used to be. It didn't used to be people's heads just blew up. This is all new to me.
Yeah. It's like bracing, like when I get those moments of like just sort of remembering the it's so weird. Like our brains are so wired to understand like status and hierarchy and who's mm-hmm. the powerful people in the tribe and who isn't. And it's like Trump is he's such an arbitrage on that system, right? It's like it's so easy to like see him with all the trappings of the presidency and his like fake gold bullshit and to fall into that pattern of like, yes, he's like a powerful and wealthy man and we have to deal with him as the president. And it takes like more and more effort every day to look through that and be like, it's a total fabrication. Like he doesn't have that much money.
The
he's
winery
not that
remark.
Powerful.
The winery.
Oh God.
It's like on top of everything that just happened. I mean, it's fun to watch political Twitter. No, it's not. I watch political Twitter. Thank you, Max. And I've started participating in it a little bit. And that's fun.
Merlin, saw you get some retweets.
I got some retweets.
On
yeah, sure
political
did.
I was reading my political Twitter list. I'm scrolling down. And there's the little, what's that called? The stipple print or whatever? With the
Stipple face.
Stipple mm-hmm. face with a huge chin. And I was like, yeah. Who is that with that huge chin?
What's that? And he made a funny joke about pound signs. Hmm.
Is that Matt Smith? No, it's Merlin.
I wish. Oh, chinny. what was I talking about?
And
everybody likes to, you know, be a little, I think I might need to take a break from political Twitter. Everybody likes to make a little remark about, the really surprising thing about that was, I can't believe you might have seen this before. And, you know, the problem is, like, with the way that real Twitter works is, if I'm following people on your list, my mutes don't count. So there's like a few people. There's a few people I've finally had to, people who with whom I am nominally politically aligned, Armando Coase, who I just cannot see anymore. And so I've had to block them.
Okay, do you know the expanding brain meme? So small brain is reading your Twitter timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Large brain is reading Max's political Twitter list. But universe brain, galaxy brain, that's reading Donald Trump's Twitter timeline. So you guys know like lists. You can like subscribe to a list of Donald Trump's Twitter timeline. So you can see Twitter as Donald Trump sees it. And that's what I've been reading. And that's the good shit. That's galaxy mind, because it's like the world is exploding. There's like people on fire running up and down the streets, and there's like Nazis marching with torches. Like it's all fucking crazy. And you go on.
It's
Donald
all like
Trump's
personal congratulations on statements of strength.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of that, but then there's also like new revelations about Benghazi.
The email, more on the email. Yeah. But in that instance of the whole like, wow, well, I'm really interesting about this is burp, 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 is several people, and I'm somewhat inclined to agree with this, is that the rotten cherry on top of this whole thing was that terrible, terrible thing that had my heart slamming in my chest. And then it ends with him walking away, and he just can't stop. He's still taking questions, and he feels the need to remark several untruths in one, but the fact that he felt the need to mention that I think he said he has a house in Charlottesville, but then he said he owns a winery in Charlottesville. And it's, I think he said something along the lines of it's one of the most successful wineries in America. Something along those lines. Now, there's several things about that that are inaccurate. It is, at least apparently on the record, owned by thing number two. Instead, it's not him. It's actually Eric, I think, that owns it.
My father. My father's grapes. Transferred me the worst winery assets in the East Coast.
My father is changing the way that millennials order wine. And it's not that successful.
My father takes a big sniff of the wine and says, wow, there's a lot going on here.
My father found a way to use stems as a renewable energy source, and everyone said it was good. My father doesn't even drink wine, but he's so savvy about money dollars that he knows what land to buy for grape.
My father uprooted the water tower and drank all the water for the entire town.
My father knows there's at least two Virginias, and he knows their names and their secret names.
He breathed in the entire ocean and just left the fish behind.
My father knows the difference between 3, 4, and 6, 8 time.
My father found all the plot holes in this week's Game of Thrones, and you can't travel by boat across the continent in that little amount of time.
My father knew Cersei wouldn't even need to change her mind if she saw a dead White Walker.
So,
my father impregnated the queen on the Iron Throne. My father made the wine that Cersei was drinking before she blew up the Sept with the dragon fires.
Guys, people are going to get more mad about theoretically what those spoilers than they ever have about any political.
Suck my balls.
Oh man, shut your mouth, America. I love this season. I love it, love it, love it. Ah. Oh.
Deal with political Twitter that I've this has made it a little less fun to me since I realized like the fundamental trick of political Twitter, and I'm going to tell this to you and it'll make it less fun for you too. So basically,
oh yeah, because it's already Twitter, a ton of fun.
Political Twitter operates the sort of
it's like you shit on a plate and then tell me I'm eating it wrong.
Well, you probably are. I mean, there's a lot to consider. You going fork or chopsticks on that food?
One of 16.
So, okay, political Twitter operates in one of two modes. Mode number one is that the world is on fire and exploding, and there's nuclear missiles flying through the air, and political Twitter is like a guy in like a twill jacket, and he's pushing his glasses up his nose and going, well, actually, if you take a step back and consider it in this context, it means this or that. You know, this sort of academic pedant, giving you some perspective or making some wry comment as though he's looking down a microscope at it. That's mode number one. Mode number two is people responding to that and going, you're not taking it seriously enough. It's actually really bad and scary, and that's why it's problematic. And those two, and then the same person can have both of those modes.
Oh,
so 100%. You always have a comment because there's always someone else on political Twitter who's either looking through the microscope or running around flapping their arms in the air. And you can always be you can either go, hey buddy, calm down, like let's have some decorum here, or you can be like, why would you have decorum at a time like this? Things are crazy.
It's a perfect time to panic.
Okay, and here's my complaint about Game of Thrones is there are people.
Why
there
can't you just bring joy? Just bring joy to my life, Matt.
There
just
are people.
Give me
joy. There are seriously people who are very angry. I've made the mistake of going on Reddit after I watch like the Rick and Morty Reddit and the Game of Thrones Reddit after I watch those programs.
Could have stopped that sentence at the word Reddit.
And because I sometimes, you know, the fun thing is like I like. Okay, here's the good version of going on the Game of Thrones Reddit is they point out some cool thing that I missed in the episode, right? Like a little piece of trivia.
Look, Mastodon was in that episode. I didn't know that. That was Mastodon.
So it's like,
you know about the cameos? There's a lot of cameos, Max.
Oh, there was that one singer everyone got mad about?
Yeah, but there's other singers too.
That was pretty bad.
Also, Sigur Rós was in one.
Yeah.
They're the ones that at the wedding party. Not the other wedding, but the one with the guys and he throws the coins.
Quick turns out Maisie Williams apparently really likes Ed Sherman. I don't even know.
Let's not talk
name.
About him. No, we
no,
let's
no,
not
no.
Talk
but
about
here,
him.
I'm not. I got less angry because this was like her parting gift. Like the show's ending, and she has a big crush on him, and then it made me less angry.
Okay.
I go on Reddit though, and people are so fucking upset about the travel times. They're like Tyrion couldn't have gone this far in that little time. It's like, well, it just if you could just allow me
they look really good for having been at sea in an open boat for months.
Yeah,
in an open rowboat.
And I agree. I mean, listen, I agree. Yes, that is not plausible. But also, like, it's a story. It's a made up story. There's dragons and zombies.
They could have ridden on the dragons.
What would you have? I'm just curious. Like, if I could ask these people, like, what would you have the show be? Would you have them do a whole episode where Tyrion is at sea?
It would be like
happens?
If you actually slept for 8 hours in Minecraft.
What would it look like?
And you had to be
screen?
Playing the whole it's time like, before
have,
you were allowed
have
to play again.
They thought this through? Because then the other thing is they'll. So that's complaint number one. And complaint number two they make is they say, this is a boring episode. Nothing happened. Well, wait a minute. They're like, there was too much talking. What's wrong with you? And the Rick and Morty, and I did not know this. So I've been watching Rick and Morty, and I think we've talked about this on the show, but it's for sure it's the best written thing on television. It makes me laugh so hard, and I watch every episode 8 times and catch new things in it every time. Mm-hmm. It's the most meticulously
dense,
perfectly sculpted thing. Like if I could have like if there's like one media thing that I could make something as good as, I would pick Rick and Morty. Like that's my for sure that's my thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I went on the Rick and Morty Reddit and to see. I don't know why I do this to myself. People are, do not like the season. They're like really mad about the season. And apparently the knock on the season is, so they added a bunch of new writers to the show. And they added, the writer's room used to be all men or almost all men. And they added a bunch of women to the writer's room. And now people are like, oh, the SJWs came into Rick and Morty, the women, and they ruined it. And it's not good anymore. And there's so much to unpack there. Because like starting with like, how could it... Who thinks the season's not good? This is like maybe the most solid string of episodes that show has ever done.
Like
every moment has been electric.
All I can hear is my brain trying to process why you do things like this.
Well,
and I see this on Slack. I see this with my friends, and it's like you choose to go out and buy 1,000 boxes of Rice Krispies and keep searching until you find the one really burned piece of rice, and then get sad about it. It's like, what? Quit doing that. Go look. Somebody with 7 followers just ruined your day? Really? Like, who do you think is going to show up on a place like that? People who are like, I think this season is pretty good. Nobody's ever expressed the opinion, I think this is fine. That's not anything
I'm saying that
expresses.
I'm saying that right now. I don't like anything, and I think that this season is perfect. Are you guys caught up on it?
God.
I don't want to spoil it. But
no,
like,
I haven't watched
Rick
it. I've seen a couple
episodes.
It's the best episode
they've ever made.
I think Pickle Rick may be the highest... the highest expression of what that show can be. And the
was
one
it written
that,
by a woman?
It was actually.
I have no idea,
It was written by someone. Her last name is Gao Jiao.
That's real problematic.
I have never, like, there are shows, like, I really like shows like BoJack Horseman and, like, really cynical. I'm a big fan of the cynical cartoon genre, but, like, Rick and Morty, I've never laughed so hard and then completely been torn apart and then kept awake thinking about, I don't want to spoil it, but the end of Pickle Rick is...
Okay, should I just jump in with that one?
No. Watch the whole season.
Start from the very beginning. Like,
oh, okay. Is there anything else I should watch before I watch this show? Before I watch this comedy show about Back to the Future? Is there anything else that I should watch first?
Wait, hang on. Let me just get my feet on the ground here. Are you not? I thought you watched Rick and Morty. You don't watch it?
You did. You did think that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No!
Okay,
I'll watch it. It's going to be my Bim Bam all over again. I'm sure I'm going to love it, but I can't watch it with my kid.
Oh, yeah,
I can't
please,
go.
No.
I can't. No, well, think about it. All these shows everybody wants me to watch, what am I going to do? I'm just not going to do stuff anymore. I'm going to sit around and watch TV in the afternoon all day. Like, when am I going to watch this?
Well, don't take your bath and watch an episode of Rick and Morty.
You leave my bath out of there's no reason to drag my bath into this.
That's small brain is like, don't watch Rick and Morty.
I'm not against it. I'm just
big brain is skip your bath and watch Rick and Morty. Galaxy brain is you set your iPad up precariously on the edge of the bathtub and you watch it in the bath.
Mm-hmm.
That's galaxy brain.
And then you're drowning yourself because you're so upset.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon our podcast to Pickle Rick. So Pickle Rick was written by Jessica Gao, who's a writer on Bajillion Dollar Properties, starring our friend Tawny Newsom, who we perform with on the Jonathan Colton Cruise.
Boom.
I get it. It's a cartoon show. I get it. There's only 25 episodes. I will watch this.
This is gonna hit you right so deep in your brainstem.
Oh my god! The last 4 times I was lying, but this time I'm serious. I will fucking watch it. Okay. I will watch the Rick and Morty.
Will you text me?
It.
Will you text me while you're watching it?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It is.
Sure.
It is,
probably. Thanks. Yes.
Tell me what you're thinking while you watch it.
I remember watching it and think it's funny. There's this guy who's a little bit unhinged. Maybe he's drinking and stuff. It seems pretty funny. It's like Back to the Future, right?
Oh, God.
It is. It started as a Back to the Future. It started with their names used to be Doc and Marty, right?
Yeah.
And it was like and it was Justin Roiland's short for Channel 101. And it was like, it was so fucking funny. Doc would always need Marty to lick his balls. And then they tried to make it into a thing, and he tried to call it, and then they got in trouble for using the names Doc and Marty. So then he tried to call it like Universal Studios presents the all new official adventures of Doc and Marty from Back to the Future.
It's funny. And then it got shut down. It's completely different, though. It's like very a Channel 101 thing and just like...
What does that mean? What is Channel 101?
Channel 101 was a... Not YouTube, but it was like an internet channel that Dan Harmon made.
Oh, Dan Harmon. Why does Dan Harmon seem so unhappy? He seems unhappy.
He's a deeply unhappy alcoholic.
This is something... Max, have you noticed this at the end of Rick and Morty now? They've got like, you know, the production credits... Yes. And it used to be this cute little, like, not claiming, like a clay model of him, his cats, and his girlfriend. But so they've broken up. And so now it's him, his, the little clay model is him surrounded by beer bottles and his cats alone, passed out on the couch. And it, oh, God.
Dan Harmon's a fascinating character. I don't want to gossip or dwell on it too much, but he wrote probably the most important thing about writing to me in my life ever.
Yes. The story embryo technique?
I don't know what that is. His thing is called, he calls it a story structure 101, the story circle.
Is that where you have a storytelling framework?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Where the reader starts in his zone of comfort?
Yeah. So he basically has a condensed version of the, like, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. If you want to read this, and I highly recommend it, it's a series of very short blog posts, like short, like you can read them in 5 minutes. And just Google story structure 101, super basic shit.
No, don't do that. Look at our show notes. I know, go crazy on the show notes.
Where can people find the show notes for episode 101 of Due by Friday?
Literally just in your podcast player, swipe to the right.
Now you go to Due by Friday, that's DUEByFriday.com /
D-U-B-A-I-F.
I don't know if this is a bit or if you generally...
I thought it was Dobby Friday.
Oh, God.
I always read it as Dobby Friday.
DobbyFriday.fm/... 33? What episode?
Anytown, USA, 11111.
So Dan Harmon has this story structure, and what's fascinating is anything he's involved with or writes, it very closely adheres to this, like, story structure, including, like, an ensemble show, like Community. Like, part of the reason that show is so brilliant and my love of that show has to do with the fact that every episode, every single member of the ensemble goes through this story cycle, even if they're in the background, even if they have, like, an extremely minor, like, D plot or something, including, like, in one episode, Abed's not even in the episode, but he has a story circle that he goes through silently in the background of other scenes, and you have to know to look for it. It's, like, an insane level of precision and craft that I really admire. And there's a documentary that Dan Harmon did about his Harmontown podcast, where he plays D&D. And it's basically like a road trip documentary. It's like, I don't know, it's fun. It's not like a remarkable documentary in any way. Except for about halfway through the documentary, Dan Harmon realizes, okay, they're making a documentary and he has to force the narrative of the documentary that they're in and he's being filmed for on camera, like right now, into his story structure. And he realizes that the sort of nerdy dungeon master who's like on his podcast is the actual protagonist, and that him, Dan Harmon, is the antagonist, and that Spencer has to overcome the darkness of dealing with Dan Harmon and triumph at the end.
Wow.
And it's an incredible and... I don't know. It's an incredible moment of self-awareness and darkness and comedy, and I don't know. But also, like, he doesn't...
That's right in your wheelhouse.
It's right in my wheelhouse. And he and he doesn't... But what's amazing is, like, it doesn't stop him from being an asshole to this guy and getting drunk on stage and abusing everyone.
I feel like Max is downplaying this because it does. It starts as, like, the typical... Man, I'm doing the panel thing, like, as Max said. But, like...
I just want to piggyback on these ideas together.
I started watching it. I'm like, this... Okay, so it's about a comedy writer. And then it is one of my favorite documentaries. It's so...
What is the documentary
called? Harmontown. And I think it's on Netflix, Rick and Morty on Hulu. Hulu's good now. It's about toxic masculinity and insecure men, and that is in my wheelhouse. And this Dungeon Master.
Was that about me just now when you said that, Alex?
No.
You're talking about me, aren't you? You're saying I'm insecure? You call me paranoid?
No, I'm sorry, Merlin. I'm mean on this show. I'm very mean.
There's so many Harmonstown. It's a documentary.
It's a podcast.
Documentary.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah. And it, like, his face is on the cover, and it's like so eye rolly, and look at all the all his comedy friends. No, ignore that. Just watch it.
All right, I'll watch it too.
I hope John Syracuse doesn't listen to this episode. I'm sorry, John.
Don't worry. Let's see here. Okay, got that. All right, I got all my viewing lined up. It's going to be Harmon's all the way down. Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you guys, when you guys call, like, customer service or whatever, and you need to say your name, do you have, like, some words that you say to explain the letters in your name? So, like, I'll always, because my name has, like, an M and an N in it, so I'll always go, it's Max Temkin, T-E-M as in Mary, K-I-N as in Nancy. And I don't know when I started saying that, but I just realized the other day how weird it is that the two words that I picked out were Mary and Nancy.
That's what I use, too.
Isn't that...
What do you say?
I know if I have to, if I'm over like a bad line and it's important to get the spelling right, I honestly don't care if anybody knows my name or spells it right. But if it's important in terms of like matching data, that's exactly the problem that I have. And that's exactly the names that I use to represent the letters.
So you say M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy.
Well, yeah, I mean, other people have like a T and D problem. As it happens, I don't want to be ping pong, but in my neighborhood, I have a name that is very difficult to pronounce. For lots of people. And so that's one reason I say Bob, is because I always say my name is Bob. There's no neat reason to ever give any other latte name than Bob, because nobody fucking cares what your name is, Brandon. Brandon with N is in Nancy. Brandon!
What do you have to spell your name? Do you have to spell your name, Alex?
You must
have to spell Cox, right?
Yes, literally. Well, yeah, now I do. Because,
what do you say? C-O-X as in xanthan gum?
No, I mean, X, there's no other thing. Like, I have an easy name.
X as in xylophone?
Yeah. Yep.
X as in xylene?
X as in xylitol.
Island Boy Begins. That was a good one.
One time I think I literally said X as in X-Men because I panic when
That's
I
pretty good. That's pretty good.
I
thought that
TMD.
Was gonna be a more fruitful topic.
I know.
What's the deal with letters? You know, this is the reason though that you have things like that Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo Foxtrot Golf Hotel. There's a reason that you have that kind of code, or why people say, you know, niner, because they don't want it to sound like five.
Oh, I've been playing, oh my God, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I've been playing this game called PUBG. I've been playing hours a day.
It's your chicken dinner.
It's my chicken dinner. It's an amazing game. It is such a beautiful, like, elegant game. Basically, like, you play on a server with 100 people, and it's very popular right now, so it just drops you right into a game with 100 people. You all, and there's an island, a huge island, like, that would take, like, maybe, if you were running end-to-end, it would take, like, maybe an hour or so. And it's the same island every time. And all 100 people start off in this airplane, and the airplane takes a random line across flight path across the island. And basically, you have to pick a point, and you bail out in a parachute, and you land on the island, and then you run around and like pick up guns and stuff, and you're trying to be the last person to survive. It's just a free-for-all. And you play in squads of up to four. And I've been playing with people and trying to get better. And, you know, it feels amazing to win this game because, you know, you're one of 100 people, right? And
have you ever won?
Yeah, I won last night, actually.
Oh, yay.
But I got zero kills. I played with Kate Stark, and she just hard carried me the whole time. So I watch a lot of videos online of, like, really good people play because there's hard skills and soft skills in this game. The hard skills I'm fine at, and the hard skills are like aiming your gun and hitting the trigger at the right time, and I don't know, like knowing the hotkeys and stuff, like just basic, like how to operate the machine, right? But then there's soft skills, and the soft skills are like how to move in formation with other players, how to check behind doors or behind you if you're about to run somewhere, like situational awareness. Those aren't like commands in the game. Those are just like that's like ways of thinking. It's thought technologies, or like, it's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
And one of the big soft skills is radio communication. And there is a community of people, like, you can go on YouTube and find this, of like military people, like actual like military background people who play PUBG together in a squad, and they use military radio discipline.
Oh, they're the kind of people who say, what's your 20 and stuff like that.
Yes. Or they use compass bearings, but they give each other's bearings. So they say it's at your 315 or something like that.
Right.
Which is fucking amazing watching how they communicate with each other. And it's that whole
There's a clarity to that language that I really talked about this on the show with Roderick, but so that sounds jargony, but it emphasizes clarity and commonality in a way that I think is really invigorating. It's the way I wish I could talk to cab drivers. I wish I could just say, so, you know, November Tango, and that just means no talk.
So one of the things with PUBG is you're very squishy. Like, if you get a headshot, there are like 15x scopes that you can put on your gun in this game and very powerful rifles, and people can go on some mountaintop and snipe down and find people and kill them, and you can die from one shot to the head and you never even know where that person's going. So your only strategy, you don't get like extra health, right? Like your only strategy is situational awareness and being smart and not putting yourself into that situation where you can get one shot in the head. And at the level of speed and urgency, you know, there's no do-overs, there's no pausing. And at the level of sort of real-time urgency that this game makes you play at, it really matters how you communicate with other people and whether you listen to each other and whether there's extraneous chatter. And if you give a command to someone or ask a question, you better be fucking clear because there's not time to say it twice. And that's my favorite thing about this game is trying to communicate. Everyone's looking at the map. And you're all on voice chat, and you need to somehow develop a common language and understand what everyone's talking about when they're looking at the map and understanding where you're trying to go.
I've finally become like my full 12-year-old boy self in that I love watching people play this game. It's my sport at this point. I can't play it often because it's on PC. When I do play it though, I either last about 30 seconds if I'm like, you know, dropped. I'm not good at the shooties, Merlin. And then I headshot and I'm dead. But I play in like pacifist mode, basically like a horror game, like just like sort of hiding and like looking very carefully around doors and just gathering supplies. It's also kind of like a resource management game if you play it that way. There's just so many interesting ways to do it. And it reminds me a lot. It's like a more defined version of Overwatch. Like it's a new communication strategy game, and it's not like for beginning gamers, or like don't start with this. Start with like Splatoon or something. Oh, so good, Merlin. You should play Splatoon with your kid, which is
okay.
Another cool thing.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah, it's super. You know, just spend the $300 for a Switch or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's another thing that I've.
You can play that in the bath.
Yeah, that's true. But getting into that, you can't. Nintendo's never going to do good voice chat. But like the way once you get pretty good or like at a higher level, I don't know if you played it, Max, but like there's now like sort of a Splatoon like communication sort of thing where people it's like, okay, this person has a certain quote weapon, which is like, you know, bigger paintbrush. And it's like, all right, this person's clearly going to cover more ground. The basis of Splatoon is you literally just need to cover
it's
the ground with more
mayonnaise.
Paint. You have to cover. There's a big arena. You need to cover more paint than the opposite team, and just like the unspoken communication with these anonymous players is really cool, and I like it, and video games are the only thing that make me happy anymore.
That's cool. That sounds like a fun game.
It is. Also, there's no shooting, which you shoot
kids,
each other
kids
with
can
paint.
Play Splatoon, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, seriously, you can play Splatoon, and the only killing is there's paint on you, and then you come back alive in a different spot.
That sounds nice.
It is. It's lovely.
Guys, I'm very hungry, and I didn't eat today, and I think I'm going to order a hamburger.
Go for it.
Do you want a burger?
No.
You don't eat hamburgers.
But I do around my family, because then they get happy, because I'm eating beef. I eat small cheval now, which is a heart attack. But that is good
place. Oh, shit, dog. Can we get small cheval delivered somehow?
I wonder.
Postmates, probably.
You do also have an assistant. Nothing.
All right. What do you want? Just a fries?
I'll have a burger from Small Cheval, but no anything on it.
Tell them do what I do, Max. Tell them it's for a kid.
Yep, that's what I do when I.
You have to do this three different ways for it to take. You have to say, I want a cheeseburger with nothing on it. Right? You say that. And then you say, I want just a burger, cheese, and a bun, semicolon, it's for a kid.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I also lie and say I'm allergic to pickles because that is, I actually might be, you know, because.
I love pickles.
Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
Mm. The royal, while Max is ordering, just to kill time, looking at this is in show notes, I'm looking at the NATO phonetic alphabet, and that's. The source of Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo Foxtrot, etc. But I'm looking at the historic precedents. Royal Navy, 1914 to 1918, pretty great. Apples, Butter, Charlie Duff, Edward, Freddie, George, Harry, Ink, Johnny, London, Monkey Nuts, Monkey nuts, orange pudding, Queen.
No,
Robert,
monkey,
sugar
monkey,
Tommy.
Monkey nuts is not.
Monkey nuts, not next to each other. Monkey nuts, orange pudding, Queenie, Robert, sugar Tommy, Uncle Vinegar. Uncle Vinegar. That's funny. Uncle Vinegar. I got to put on this SPF to keep out the Uncle Vinegar waves. Uncle Vinegar Willie, Xerxes, Yellow Zebra.
What's the M in the N? It's so it would
Monkey
be,
Nuts.
So my name is it's spelled Temkin, T-E-M as in monkey, K-I-N as in nuts. And what's the X?
Monkey
what's the X?
Nuts. Xerxes.
No.
There you go, Alex. Yeah, hell yeah.
What a nice Commonwealth.
Cox, yeah. C-O-X as in Xerxes. Xerxes.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's like saying, oh, it's that's super helpful. It's like, oh, it's actually it's Merlin Mann. It starts with an M. It starts with M-A-N-N-N as in mnemonic. What?
This is a bad episode, you guys.
Did you see? Have you seen the news? What he's doing?
What? No. What's happening? There's news happening right now.
Everybody's been quitting his councils.
Yes.
So he just disbanded both.
He disbanded both councils.
Yeah. Let me find it. Rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. Thank you all. Kindest regards. Best regards. The management.
Think progress. No one
Change.org.
Is quite sure what Sebastian Gorka, officially a deputy assistant to President Trump, actually does at the White House. This hasn't stopped him, however, from being a near constant presence in the media. Wednesday, Gorka appeared on Breitbart News Daily, the radio show of his former employer. Gorka responded to criticism stemming from a previous media appearance on MSNBC, where he said, quote, "There is no such thing as a lone wolf attack." The concept, according to Gorka, was, quote, invented by the last administration to make Americans stupid.
Oh,
the idea of a, quote, lone wolf attack, Gorka says, is a ruse to point blame away from Al-Qaeda and ISIS when, quote, there has never been a serious attack or a serious plot that was unconnected from ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Critics were quick to point out the example of Timothy McVeigh, who was not connected to ISIS or Al-Qaeda, and killed 168 people when he bombed a federal building in Oklahoma City in 1995. On Wednesday, Gorka lashed out at, quote, the New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman and her acolytes in the fake news media who immediately have a conniption fit, and brought up McVeigh. He added that, quote, white men and, quote, white supremacists are, quote, not the problem. It's this constant, quote, oh, it's the white man, it's the white supremacists, that's the problem. No, it isn't, Maggie Haberman. Go to Sinjar. Go to the Middle East and tell me what the real problem is today. Go to Manchester.
Did you guys watch that Vice video?
Yeah, God.
Wasn't that incredible?
I watched it.
So well done.
As I was watching it, I kept pressing my face like closer and closer to the screen. I was magnetized.
By the time she got in the van, I was just screaming, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Get out of there. You are like raw meat in that van. Get out of there. Can you believe how brave she was?
No, I mean,
not because she's a woman, because she's a fucking human being, but especially because she's a white woman. Oh my God! Like that's raw meat to those guys. What are you doing in there?
I wouldn't do it.
Look at the way, like, and there's that whole sense of, like, you know, there's that whole, like, oh, we have to protect our mothers, wives, and daughters thing, where, like, you know, you're all basically our tacit property, and, like, if there's any sense of disloyalty, you get the whole Madonna whore thing. It's like, oh my God, can you imagine being in a van full of people who think she's disloyal to the race? I mean, seriously, was that going through your mind? It was sure going through my mind.
I was just magnetized, like pulled into the screen, and my heart was racing. Like I was like,
just the scenes, the unnarrated scenes of hearing people chanting.
It felt like I was there. Like I was so well taken by it. But so it's an incredible documentary. But I mean, I think one of the things that was most striking to me is like how sane those people sounded. I mean, not the content of what they were saying, but like they're not vampires,
but
right?
You could they're not.
They're not Voldemort. They're like using...
The guy from Canada. The guy from Canada. He just seemed like a mook you'd meet at the mall.
Yeah, they're using... And they even have like a sort of cadence of like, you know, like those like reasonable like people. Like just like how we talk on this podcast of like, hey, you guys are in on the joke with us, right? Like this, like we're not, we're, you know, like I'm just speaking common sense here. Like they sort of nailed that like casual intensity or I don't know what it is. It was very...
But think about when you're like, I think about being, let's say... You're at near peak in joke. Let's say you're like 17 years old and you and your friends have this really complex, like highly developed patois of how you talk to each other. So like if you're at the Taco Bell or you're down in the basement, you're going to be talking in this way that is weird and offensive and deliberately over the top. And then imagine that same group has to go to a barbecue where there's a bunch of parents and how they would talk. And that's what it felt like. You could tell even with the main... you know, antagonist guy, the apparently somebody, you know, hit a car guy. Like you could see that he's parsing what he's saying as he's saying it. Cause he wants his message of, oh yeah, yeah, we're going to kill these people, but he also doesn't want to sound crazy. And you can hear him having to reprocess the way he would say those words for what he knows is an audience that might not agree with him. And it was very weird to watch because it really humanizes him in some ways. I thought
that was the most upsetting part for me, honestly. Like I don't know. It was one of those things where I think you tweeted it, and I started watching it on my phone with the like, oh, I'll just... And then I sat in a corner and watched the entire thing, and then watched it again and showed it to Mel, and it's so, so upsetting. I've been throwing up a lot this week.
Oh, man.
Happy Wednesday. Whew. It's okay.
You're still thinking about rescinding your status as a super taster? I heard you're thinking about walking away from super tasting.
Wait, what's... Oh, yes. No, I would definitely get rid of that. I would get rid of my tongue if I could. What a weird...
I like the way Syracuse tried to draw you back into the fold. Like, no, do not turn away from your super tasting. And you, Max Temkin, never stop doing the Bane voice. Don't let all these interlopers and outsiders and Jews tell you to stop doing Bane. You do Bane. You do you.
Alex, I was the one that shut it down.
Alex cucked me.
She so cucked you.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. People didn't like that bit anyway. I heard we got very negative feedback when I heard did the band voice.
Keep doing this in my queue.
Wow, Merlin, what are you just going to do? Did you bring this up so you have an excuse to do the voice, huh?
No one's going to hear me do the voice.
Is that a little bit you got there?
You
just doing that bit?
You will never see me coming.
Wow. Did you practice that in the mirror this morning?
Thanks about it, cheats.
Oh.
Okay. Sebastian Gorka, man. When I had my 3 hours of sleep in that hotel room because my flight got canceled, I was sitting there and watching the MSNBC because I'm super smart. And boy, I'll never get over the way that guy talks. His voice is chilling to me.
Mm. What's going to happen? Have you guys thought about what happens to you if there's a civil war, like how that plays out?
Yep.
I haven't really thought about it. Have you, Alex?
Yep.
I've been thinking a lot about it this week.
I think that if we were to stay where we are, we're fine because we're white. And you and I. Yeah, well,
I think Chicago. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think Chicago could be like a major conflagration of like an actual if this like turns into...
It would definitely be the target for a lot of things, just because Chicago is kind
of sort of surrounded on all sides by like red America, right?
Right.
But it's also just that like you are the canonical example of what's wrong with black people murdering each other.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. I think it would be like, hey, look at, we're doing great.
On the other hand, all these alt-right people or whatever, or we're not calling them alt-right, we're just calling them Nazis now. So all these neo-Nazis came to Charlottesville. I mean, the AP like said we're not using the phrase alt-right anymore, so I feel like I don't need to dignify it. But like, yeah, so these like neo-Nazi groups like converged on Charlottesville, and they did it at a time when UVA wasn't in session because they knew that the students would basically kick their ass if they tried to do it during the school year.
Right.
Which is great. Like, I mean, UVA, like, if there's one thing that school should be good for, it's, like, everybody getting drunk and kicking a bunch of neo-Nazis' asses and, like, you know, wrecking the school. Like, they basically do that every weekend anyway without the neo-Nazis. So, you know, give them an excuse. But I would love to see them try to do a Nazi rally in Chicago. I mean, it would be, they would get their asses whooped.
Well, that, I mean, that's essentially what happened at
the
UIC.
The Trump rally, right?
Yeah. Like, we're like, fuck no.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they're cowards, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, that was the other, I don't know if you, I was so deep into this. I don't know that everyone has these, like, comedy reference points that I do, but, like, were you guys following, like, Baked Alaska? Like, he's one of the big, like, sort of, like, white supremacist, like, YouTube comedians. Like, he does,
the supercut of his request for how to be framed and reminding people to like and subscribe was awesome.
So, the most hilarious thing is that he was a big instigator of this, like, neo-Nazi rally. And brought his, like, YouTube comedy boys. You know, they fashion themselves as comedians. They're like, no, it's all a bit. We're being funny.
Yeah, just having fun. Yeah.
Yeah, just having fun with the boys, getting their balls snipped and saying some racist comments. And him and his boys were going to Charlottesville, and they did a video or a live stream from the side of the highway in, like, Virginia or D.C. or something, where their Uber driver kicked them out of the car for being too racist. And it was just this, and they were trying to, like, get this black woman who was the Uber driver on camera and saying, like, why are you kicking us out of the car? Like, we have a right to be driven around or whatever. Why are you kicking us out? And she's just like, I'm terminating your ride. Your ride is over, sir. And just drives away in the middle of the live stream. It was such an incredible self-own. Like, the amount of self-awareness that you have to lack to post this video and be like, look at us, we're being censored by the elites, you know. And it's just this, like,
okay, all right, here we go. TM. Here's how we're gonna make a lot of money.
Okay.
It's a new gig economy service called Unter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the opposite of Uber.
Uh-huh.
And it's a white supremacist ride-sharing service.
Okay.
And you are not only welcome to come in, mm-hmm. and be a white nationalist, but it's actually, you come in, you get a fist bump, and then we talk about the Untermensch.
Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. just drop a pin into the crowd that you want your Unter car to drive into.
Right.
No, oh God.
The Unter Alto.
I'm sorry, I didn't make that. Merlin made me make that joke.
Yeah,
with that incredible setup.
It was there. Oh my
God. Yeah, you just drop a flag.
So, and then this was the same guy.
You drop a little Nazi flag and it just aims toward that.
This was the same guy who got
Willkommen, Unter.
During the actual, like, battle or whatever, which was, like, not even a battle. It's just a bunch of, like, chest beating and then a bunch of Nazis getting their asses whooped. But he just starts, like, he goes on his stream and he's just crying, milk, give me the milk. I got mazed. Just crying. And then he's like, keep the stream going. What do the comments say? I need that milk. Give me the
milk.
I know. What do I do?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like to call other people this because I am a huge pussy, but that guy's a pussy. That guy's such a pussy. He's as big of a pussy as I am.
A Nazi pussy. So
you,
like,
can be both. You can be both.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't think you should group yourself with this guy.
Look at me. I have a whole podcast where I make fun of these people and get to feel smart and superior to them. But if they ever confronted me, I would push you down and run away.
Yeah. Take that one. Take that one.
This is the worst episode we've ever done, guys.
It really is. No. You know what would cap this episode off is we should do, like, one of those late night monologues where the music stops and it just fades.
Oh,
and it's like, hi, I'm Julie Fallon, and I want to make some comments now. It's like,
I watch my kids play at night.
These racist attacks are unacceptable to all Americans. This is not what we stand for. I hate those late night.
1924, Calvin Coolidge running for president. They need a Democratic candidate. What are they going to go? Where are they going to go to? He was the governor of New York. But the other candidate had a secret weapon. And that was the KKK. There was a march. There was a march in Queens that week. Arrested at that march? Donald Trump's father.
And what did the president say?
What did the president say?
That's right. Nothing.
When we come back,
we'll have LL Cool J on to talk about the Charlottesville March.
Rock the bells. Thank you, Mr. J. Did you know he's getting? Is he getting a Kennedy Award? Is that what he's getting? Isn't he getting some kind of major award? Isn't he late? Hang on, LL Cool Jay. I think it's a Kennedy.
No, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan got the Nobel Prize in poetry.
That's true.
You know what? I've never heard you and John Roderick. I've heard you and John Roderick talk about your wrong Beatles opinions for probably 15 hours of my life.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. All put together. Yep, I don't think I've heard one word about Bob Dylan on your program.
I mean, I'm familiar with this work.
You're not a big Dylan fan?
LL Cool J is hard as bah, battle anybody. I don't care you. Bah, IX. Bah, da, bah, bah. I used to love LL Cool J.
Oh, LL Cool J is great. But Bob Dylan, no comments? No comment?
I mean, what do you say? I really, really like Bob Dylan. I think...
Acoustic or electric?
Well, if you were a real Roderick on the Line fan, you know that we have talked about this, and this was actually the topic of a semi-famous episode where John, I think, first laid out his "I am not a fan" theory, where he is talking about, and I'm kind of exploring in the little bit that I do, and John is very much like, no, I'm not a fan of things, like, yeah, but you know, I do enjoy him. There was a really good podcast where they broke down "Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll," and I wish I could find it because. It is such a good podcast.
I love that. I love acoustic episode. Bob Dylan, and I've always really struggled to get into electric Bob Dylan because I recognize that everybody with good taste in music thinks that's when he truly sort of like flexed his muscles as a songwriter and did his best work, like Blonde on Blonde and Blood on the Tracks and all that. I just can't do it. I don't know. There's no hook for me. I can't get into it.
Interesting.
I've tried. I've listened to those albums many times, and they're just like, it's not bad or anything. I just can't. It doesn't push the buttons.
I have a lame and non-satisfying non-excuse, which is that there are certain things I believe that I don't see have to be there, but there are things where, and the Beatles, I think, are a good example. The Beatles in 1964, 65 are a good example of this, where there's not really any way to appreciate what that phenomenon meant. Maybe, you know, Elvis 56, same kind of thing, where it's difficult to really appreciate it because we can only look at that through this telescope of, you know, from a long way away. And shit dog, everything we know about music has been affected by those people. You know, all these three artists, groups of artists that we're talking about, you got Dylan, you got Elvis, you got the Beatles. So it's really difficult to, and I think that's a big thing with Dylan, is that you have to enjoy it on this almost tertiary level. Where it's always going to be a little abstract because you weren't there when it happened. And when it happened, like, it was very weird to people. And I don't know, maybe that shouldn't matter, but I think it does. It's just another guy playing a guitar to a lot of people.
I hear, like, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall or Blowing in the Wind or Masters of War, and I get, like, chills. And those are very, you know, I don't know. That's like, how is that not part of the...
Well, Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll might be up there for me. At least with the acoustic songs, is one of my favorites. I mean, that song, I just put a link in... no, I didn't. I just put it in Reconcilable Differences. Let's try again. He breaks down basically all kinds of stuff about that song and the words that he chose and the repetitions, right? You know, she cleans up the table and...
God, that's such a good album.
Yeah.
Every song on that album is incredible.
Looking up Bob Dylan.
Honestly, kind of like the mason jar in the ass. As soon as we started talking about Bob Dylan, I can't get the sequence from the beginning of Watchmen out of my head where they go through.
Oh,
like,
that's a good sequence.
Really best
good.
Part of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I also like seeing Dr. Manhattan's hog.
Mm-hmm. People gasped in the theater when that happened.
What are you going to nachos hog?
I mean.
No.
Show me the hog.
Follow up. Copyright John Siracusa. Oh, I'm sorry, Marco. Trademark John Siracusa. I can't say his name. The Mooch, whatever. He followed like a thousand people.
Did he follow
people
a lot of gay?
I don't know. He like followed 1,000 people on Twitter. I'm like, okay. What's the like weird strategy behind that? I don't understand people who like follow thousands.
I don't know. There's this guy. There's my friend Brian Brushwood is like a magician and he's been, he's on TV a lot. He has a show like Scam School. And that fucking guy follows like millions of people on Twitter. He literally follows like millions of people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where like anytime I click on someone's Twitter name and I'm like trying to figure out what their deal is, it's always like followed by Brian Brushwood. What I don't know who. How does he use Twitter? It doesn't make any sense to me.
He does. He obviously doesn't. He's probably like one of those TweetDeck people who's a muter.
I mean, I like that he doesn't follow me. Come on. I don't know why. Anyway, I do like that the president follows me. I don't know. I mean the good
Wait,
one.
Can you
not
DM? Obama.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess. Oh, I nice. Guess. I guess I could.
If Trump followed you, and. Oh. You could DM him. I would have you DM Trump all day. I'm still mad at Glenn Fleischman.
The
like
why?
No, because Glenn got retweeted by Donald Trump Jr. or something like that, and I was like, Glenn,
yeah.
Change your Twitter display name to Don Jr. Drinks Piss.
Oh, right,
and he
right,
didn't
right.
do it.
No, he wouldn't. You kept asking.
What a wasted opportunity. I would love to get retweeted by Don Jr. and then I would change my name to Donald Trump Jr. Drinks Piss.
Mm. That'll get him.
Follow up, Playboy. are boobs on the outs? This seems to be the case for millennials. At least in
just
regards
not into
to their
it.
Porn viewing habits.
Fake
New data
news.
Released by Pornhub has revealed a rather distinct generational trend regarding our cultural fondness for breasts. Their data revealed that the younger the generation, the less interested they are in women's mammaries. The data exhibits young adults ages 18 to 24 are almost 20% less likely to search for breast-related content on the site, whereas those 55 to 64 were 17% more likely. The age groups the age groups in between ascend as viewers' age increases. Don't get me wrong, this is by no means to suggest that breasts are not popular. Quote, big natural boobs ranks fourth in overall searches on the site, and daily breast searches exceed millions. The figure just may not be as popular as you would assume. On average, only 1.5% of the daily searches on Pornhub are boob-related.
You're going to have to send me this for show notes because I'm just finding a lot of, I don't
of
know.
Of that 1.5%, only 0.89% search for large breasts, 0.29% search for natural breasts, and 0.09% search for small breasts.
Oh, okay. I have a lot of porn tabs open right now. Oh,
it must be, are you having a challenge looking for a news story
about
by searching for Playboy breasts?
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
They don't show breasts anymore.
It's an SEO
porn
problem.
Hub statistic.
It's all ball jars.
Yeah, this is not working out. Anyway.
Yeah, the kids can't get off to breasts anymore. They need to watch a ball jar exploding in a man's
watch
anus.
A ball jar in a man's butt.
Oh, look at that. It's got kind of a social share icon that's a little bit lewd. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, that came up on Twitter this morning as I was laying in bed next to my wife. And it's got a little picture
nice.
Of a lady holding her boobie.
Okay, honey. Sorry, I did not know it was going to expand that picture when
no,
I put it in.
No, she just
our,
looks
our
like
channel.
She's giving herself a self-breast exam. That's not...
Why are millennials ruining breasts?
That,
and fake. Applebee's.
Yeah, we can't air this episode. It's got to go right in the chucker.
Oh, my God. No.
Should we just quote over ahead or I don't know. What's in your wallet? We haven't even gotten our burgers yet.
Oh, you know, we might as well stick with it. Digga. Challenge this week falls to me. And for a number of logistical and OPSEC reasons, we needed to make it an easy one. It was suggested by Max, but approved by me. The challenge is very simple. You're supposed to be prepared today to bring in the wallet that you carry, whatever you use as a wallet, and to be prepared to discuss the contents of your wallet, what is and is not in your wallet. And I would personally like to hear about your history with wallets and what you hope for in a wallet of the future. And that's this week's challenge.
You know, I know a lot of people are watching the news and they're worried and they're anxious. And I'm just glad that we can provide this kind of penetrating coverage that's going to make people, you know, really give them an opportunity to reflect on...
This is an important personal story because your wallet... I'm eating some ice. Your wallet...
Why,
reflects
wait,
a
you're
lot.
Eating ice?
Yeah.
Why?
Are you giving birth? What's happening?
Do you have pica?
I can't get the ball jar into my ass until I get all of the liquid and ice nuggets out. Gotta have my nugs.
Challenge.
No!
Okay, yes. Start out small. Little ball jar.
I'm just thinking about it. Oh.
Do they have training ball jars? Like little rubber ones, like a dog toy you can practice with?
No.
Or it's like an ambitious butt plug?
Oh, God.
I love that band. Your wallet says a lot about you. You know, it's like they say in The Incredibles. You can tell a lot about a woman by what she carries in her purse.
Oh,
now, the thing about your wallet is, It reveals your hopes and dreams, your concerns and priorities.
Hold on, I need to about the ball chart. Tabs. Okay, hold on.
Oh no!
All right, I'm ready for wallet talk.
This is the worst. This is for sure the worst episode.
Max, is she
people
looking
be
at
paying
it?
Us for this podcast.
Is she looking at it in an educational way, or is it prurient?
Is what?
Her boob looking.
Oh, I can't see it. We're across the table from each other.
Actually, last week when we had our fantastic guests, Zoe and Trin, on.
Yay,
later,
that was such a great episode.
Trin was like, you looked very upset while we were recording this, but you were laughing. And I forgot to mention that I make no eye contact with anybody when I'm recording because I'm a weirdo and I can't. And I look for any social situation in which I don't have to make eye contact with people. So it looks that I'm like I'm scowling, but no, I just haven't.
Well,
never...
podcasts are great because you get to have
the resting
of,
introvert face.
Yeah.
You get to sort of have the facade of human connection, but without having to like
exactly.
make eye contact. You get to sort of like perform a conversation for like an imagined audience. Mm-hmm. And it's very safe and controlled. Mm-hmm. It has like an end time and an objective. Like you can sort of, it's great. Oh my God. I love fucking love podcasts.
Boy, being in your head sounds like a real joyride. Sounds like a lot of fun. Just a lot of joy minute to minute. But your wallet, here's the thing, is your wallet says a lot about you. It says a lot about your priorities and your concerns. And it says, when I say priorities, I just mean that in the true sense of like, there's all kinds of stuff I can't have, but if there are things that I must have, these will be with me. My gut is that the wallet today is not nearly as important to people as it used to be a few years ago for a variety of reasons. And I think that's culturally very interesting. Like Max, don't you roll with like a super minimalist setup?
Well, am I going first?
Well, we do whatever you want. I just wanted to frame the challenge in general. We can go any way you want to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, so I would say, so to dive into my whole pocket hierarchy and my whole system, I mean, I have the iPhone 7 Plus, so the big boy iPhone, and that's the bulk of what I want in my pocket because I go with the big mm-hmm. iPhone, I put it in my front pocket, my front right pocket, and I can't really bear to have a lot of other stuff in my pocket.
Screen facing out, in or out?
Screen in, okay. Screen in, and then button
correct
up,
answer.
So
correct
I can sort of holster.
Answer.
I can sort of draw.
That's
it like
me
a
too.
Holster.
I'm screen in, top down.
Yes. Yeah, because mm-hmm. then what's nice is I can sort of draw it like a holster and like unlock it with my thumb and just like quick draw, like pow pow, well, fire off a
the
few
change,
tweets.
The change in the headphone jack.
Let me tell you, I'm a pretty tough guy. If I see a Nazi yes. coming down the street, I'm gonna draw mm-hmm. that iPhone, pow pow, make some big posts. I'm gonna own him on social media.
Keep streaming.
Mm-hmm. Give me the milk.
Give me the milk.
So I got my pocket all full of iPhone 7 Plus, and that has sort of kicked off. I've always not wanted a lot of shit in my pockets, but I especially am very sensitive now that I have the big iPhone, very sensitive to having stuff in my pocket. So I've kind of been exploring the world of minimalist wallets, and I'm sure you guys know we're in like a minimalist wallet revolution right now. Like there's all these like so like the three main places you can get minimalist wallets in stores. And you'll see them like, I went to like Patagonia the other day, and Patagonia has like minimalist adventure wallets now that they're selling. You can find minimalist wallets at like farmers markets and like craft fairs and things like that. Any place where there's like makers like selling their stuff, and there's usually like, you know, cut out of a single piece of leather or something like that. And then, of course, there's the thriving ecosystem of minimalist wallets on Kickstarter, and those usually have some sort of hook, like a built-in tile tracker or RFID blocking or, you know, some sort of gimmick or something.
Right.
So I've kind of gone through a bunch of these. I will say in recent, just to use like the last 5 years or whatever, mainly what I've done is I've taken the smallest amount of credit cards I can bear to carry, or cards in general, I can bear to carry around with me, like a couple of $20 bills, and I rubber band them together with like 10 rubber bands and sort of loop the rubber bands really tight and then just put that whole thing in my pocket. And that's good for about a month or two until the rubber bands start to degrade, and then I just swap out for new bands. And what's nice about that is there is zero, obviously zero added thickness. Like all you have is the thickness of the cards.
I used to roll that way in college. When I was in college, I had my driver's license, my ATM card, and my student ID. And because I had long hair, I'd wrap that in a ponytail holder. And it was just the way to roll everywhere. That's kind of all you need until you need more.
Yeah. Well, the wallet I've
a
got
wallet,
now...
A wallet wants to be filled. The wallets of my childhood, when you'd get them, and I mean, they were often passed down to me. I'd get my dad's old wallet or what have you. But you'll remember, or you may not, that when you bought a wallet in the store, it was all about the features. I mean, this thing was like a Big Mac. And it would have all the windows to put photos in. They'd have photos in there as serving suggestions. There were supposed to be ways like you could put... wallets I frequently had a key area where you could put a spare key. Like, it used to be... Don't love the word minimalism, but they used to be more, if you like, maximalist, where it was more like a day runner for
it was
your
a feature
ass.
Wallet.
Feature wallet. Yeah, right. Smart wallet.
Yeah.
Wallet.
I like, too, where there's like multiple compartments for cash. So it's like, oh, you can like sort your cash like the cashier's box.
I do that. I do that in the one I've got.
So I
still like cash.
The product I'm rocking right now, I'm actually I switched to having a wallet, and the reason was I was getting made fun of a lot for having the rubber bands.
Oh, fuck them.
And I constantly was getting made fun of. I don't want to name names, but it may be my domestic partner that I live with who was making fun of me a lot.
Veronica!
And I now have, which is big, you know...
Wait, I'm sorry I said fuck you, Veronica. You're very smart and nice, but I like rubber bands. Anyway.
She carries around like a fucking... caddy, like the thing she keeps her cards and stuff in, it could have fucking wheels on it. She could drive it around like a little scoot.
Are there little scoot, rocks scoot. In
the oh my god, it's full. It has like, there's like papers and receipts and parking.
That's what Syracuse does. Syracuse's wallet is like that. It is comical.
She's got a total George Costanza wallet going on. But the product I've got now, I found it online. I think I found it on one of those like frightening like everyday carry websites where people post their like guns and knives. And, like,
here's my other knife.
Yeah. Here's the tactical flashlight I carry with me. Yeah.
Daily carry.
I have this product so called I have this product called the Krabby Wallet, and I got the smallest one. And what it is, it's just a piece of like stretchy like nylon, and you sort of put your, it's very thin. There's almost nothing to it, and you sort of put your cards in there, and then on the back it's got a little cord about an inch long, and you can hook a single key on the cord and then sort of loop the key into the wallet. And this is cool because I have largely eliminated the need to carry any keys around. I just have one single key, which is the key to my house, and it lives in my wallet, and I do not have a keychain or any other keys.
That is living. Now imagine once you get your implant. Oh, brother.
Well, that's right? What I'm interested in with the implant is I really could get rid of the whole wallet. And then I can get into exactly what's in my wallet, but I'm curious what your guys' like setup is. Alex, what do you have there?
All right. So first I would like to share my very first wallet to give some context. And you know how you've got those like the t-shirt regret Merlin that you hate that you threw t-shirts away?
Absolutely.
I am so sad that I threw this wallet away. For some reason I still have an emotional, wait, those are socks or maybe they're not. Click on that link. I think it is. It's like this puffy plastic wallet and
Look at that. You got a Karopi? Is that his name?
Caro Karopi, I believe. It's a Sanrio.
I used to have a Bad Bats Maru wallet.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys when I was little. And there were multiple little...
I loved them when I was 38.
Never mind. No one knows how old I am.
What's his deal? What's this character's deal?
Oh, they all have backstories.
Yeah. When I was in Japan, the big one was Gautama. It was like the egg, the like cranky egg. And his deal is that he's always sleepy.
I remember Peckle the Duck had bad balance and wanted to be a lifeguard.
This guy was just like dumb. He was always hanging around. I think he tried to. I think he occasionally would try to like cheer up Bats Maru actually. And he was cool because he was, you know, the emo penguin. But I would fill this wallet with like fake cards for stuff and like eventually I got a grammar school ID and it had a little change pouch and it was like, okay, if you have things in your wallet, then that means that you have some worth because these are like where you put your important
papers. I did the exact, I practically cut up newspapers and put it in there, like anything to have in there. And I would go and find photos to stick in the little windows and you want to like outfit your wallet.
Mm-hmm. I'd like a picture of my favorite
Hasunoe
dolphins. Oh no.
Is a frog character with large eyes and a V-shaped mouth. Karapi loves adventure and his bubbly personality makes him popular around a donut pond. Is that where they live? He has a brother called Korapi. That must be confusing. And a sister called Peaky. Most often he is seen with his little snail friend, Den Den.
Aww.
Always tagging along a little behind. Karapi is a fantastic swimmer and singer, but not at the same time. That's a good joke on Wikipedia. Karapi has appeared in video games. All right, I don't need his IMDb credits here. His hometown is Donut Pond, and he lives in the Caro Caro house. Some of Karapi's friends include Caroline, Nobirun, Kairosuke, Ganta, and Karope, Denden, and Tero Tero, all the ones that we know and love. His mom, named Karoma, owns a small restaurant and cooks Karapi's favorite food, rice balls. This is adorable.
Actually, I have a lot in common with this little guy.
Karo means frog's croak, and Hansue means on a lily pad.
I feel like he's one of the lesser known. I don't think he got to spend a lot of time with Hello Kitty, who's kind of one of the C characters. But yeah, I that was like, okay, this is my status. This is who I am. Here's the pictures of my favorite dolphins and manatees. Totally normal. But eventually, you know, there were some people who wrote about like those 42 folders and minimalism and cleaning your credit cards.
I love that one. I love cleaning your debit card.
So,
that was great.
Eventually, what kind of sucks in college is they give you like 40 cards and you kind of need them all the time. Like when you're traveling to like, okay, this is your card for the diner hall and this is the card to get into this specific building and here's your student ID. So then I think this was actually a Kickstarter project, but it was, I think like one of the first like slim wallets where you could still fit a million things in there, which I kind of had to do, but it fit in like you could fold it like four times, and it held all my crap. And eventually it literally fell apart because I used it for like 6 years. And now this is what I am sporting. And it is the first time I've, other than the frog wallet, I have not had a black wallet. And let me see. And I recently switched from my back right pocket to my back left.
Oh, Bellroy.
Yeah, Bellroy.
I had a Bellroy wallet.
Yeah, and so it's not quite...
This was a great wallet.
Yeah, it's...
This is pretty.
It's awesome.
Ooh, it's expensive.
I haven't bought a wallet in 6 years. I feel like it's lasted now... Like
no,
what?
I didn't have this.
Two
I had a small.
Years?
I had an even smaller one.
Oh, it's so
one.
Little.
So
look at that.
Well, here I needed a little bit of a larger wallet. I keep in here a slim tile in case I lose it. And now
that's what I have. Yeah. The larger width and height one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I've got one too.
Can I ask you a question about the tile quickly?
Yes.
Because
yes. Mm-hmm.
I would love to have this in my wallet because then if I misplace my wallet, I hit the thing on my phone and it goes. In practice, my experience is that it doesn't work that well and it drains the battery on my phone because only way for Tile to work is to always have GPS on. It was like one of those apps in my phone. You know how there's some apps that just maddeningly.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. Like, I don't know why they have to have that.
I don't think that's how it works
anymore.
It
always has to have location. Check on your phone.
No, that's not true. Because I don't think that's true because it has to catch up when you open it. After traveling, I'm frequently doing a lot of tile finding. I'm a huge tile user. I have many, many tiles. Let me go look at battery usage and see. But yeah, also it's not GPS, it's Bluetooth. I wish it had GPS.
No. It uses, what I'm saying is the app, the tile app uses location services always on or the app doesn't work. And
That's probably true. Anyway, I have found the tile useful, and I have done experiments with the tile, and which drives my daughter a little bit crazy. But I've used tiles. I've bought some tiles just to use for an experiment and expect to lose. So an interesting experiment, if you've got a little extra dough, is to buy one tile you plan to lose. I wrap mine in a Ziploc bag, because I love Ziploc bags, with a note in there that says, this is not anything scary, this is just an experiment. And then I'll leave it.
Yeah, I would not be worried if
wanted,
I saw that.
Because I wanted to find out, because I mean, here's the thing. When do you test this? You test this after you've fucking lost something. I want to find out what would happen if I lost something somewhere I'm likely to use it. So I wanted to put it inside the Walgreens. My daughter didn't want to do that because she said we'd get in trouble. So I did it by the library. But it's pretty fun because if you go and wrap it up and put it somewhere and then identify it as lost, it's interesting to see how soon it shows up. Because what it does is essentially, and I do this all the time with suitcases mm-hmm. at an airport, and it works mm-hmm. very well for suitcases. Basically, every bag we've got has a tile in it. And so you, when you identify it, just for our listeners, when you identify it as lost, what happens is it starts seeking out tile apps nearby. So that's probably why that thing's always on. And you say, it's lost. Please help use the crowdsourcing to help find it. And it will. Basically, eventually, somebody's tile will light up and say, okay, it's near this location. So, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. If it comes to your backpack, your wallet, like, you really want to be able to find that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also have one in my backpack and one that's like as roaming. And I put it in, like, our when we travel, I usually travel with a really big camera that we have to check because it's just ginormous. And I put a tile in there because always it's like taken from the gate to like the you know when they have where they have like the lost luggage place. Oh, our burgers are here, Kara. Come in. But oh, so I every hungry. Time I have like a heart attack because I'm like this incredibly expensive camera. Like, did someone walk away with it? It has a hard case. It's clearly a nice camera. But then it gives me a little bit of sanity. And what else? I've got some other boring stuff in here. Driver's license, debit card, my Cards Against Humanity credit card, and my two insurance cards. I don't know why we have two, but I always need one or the other, and I can't figure out why.
Whichever one you have is the wrong one.
I don't carry either of those. When I go to the doctor, I have a little note in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you know what I do is like on... In 1Password, there's a category for called like IDs, and you can mm-hmm. just put pictures of your IDs. So I have
that's a good idea to do. I just did that so with a couple new cards.
So listen, all of our listeners should do. If you're not using 1Password, mm-hmm. you're a fucking idiot. Don't stop listening to the show. I don't want you as part of our audience. But yeah.
there's an even more basic one you can do, which is I think I might have been a Boing Boing thing. I definitely mentioned it on 42 folders. But what you want, one good idea that you're gonna need someday, if you just want the absolute minimal way. Put all your wallet contents into your scanner and scan them.
I have that too. I have a redundant wallet.
Well, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know this. And once you go like, oh, why would I know what this thing is? Flip it over and do the back and keep that around. But yeah, no, I really leverage 1Password for this stuff. It's so great.
I back up all my IDs on 1Password. It's great. It does the front and the back of the card. It's like text searchable because you can fill in all the fields in text.
Oh, I've never photographed them. That's a good idea.
Oh, you got to put the picture in, and then because sometimes there's little pieces of information like
wait a
for
minute,
example,
are you doing that from the iOS app?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Here's the thing. Mm. You got to do the picture because sometimes there's a little piece of information you don't know until you need it, like the number to call if something goes wrong.
Totally. Yep.
Right, because like you never remember to write that down, but then when you need it, you need it. And this is how I get away with carrying around like three cards is like everything's in my thing. And listen, I go to the doctor whenever I go and I'm like, listen, I don't carry my insurance card, but here's a picture. And they just work off of that. That's fine. It's never an issue.
I'm just kind of an edge case. Mm. But the thing is I'm paranoid and I realize that this is like it all is completely redundant in 1Password. But and I also have a motivation to keep my wallet small because with lady jeans, you know, I just have this thing jutting out from my ass and it's clearly my wallet.
Yep.
But I also keep a lot of stuff in the Apple Wallet app. What's in here? And I'm like way less precious.
I've been using Apple Wallet all the time. Like
I love
every sometime between when it came out and now, I realized that everywhere it takes Apple Pay.
Except fucking Target. Oh,
Target doesn't. Yeah, we're getting there though. It's definitely getting better. I can't believe how many like bodega style places take it and don't know it to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get a little thrill every time I get on the L and I just tap my phone to the thing. It's fucking awesome. And you know what? Another card you don't have to carry. Got rid of my Venture card. I just touch my phone and get on the L.
Yep. I've got a ton of like my Starbucks bullshit, AMC Stubbs Premier, which, you know, gets me 50 cents off the $300.
You know what bothers me about Apple Wallet? So when I go to Arclight, do you use the Arclight app to get tickets? It's pretty good.
I think I have. Do I have it on here?
That's like the rich people movie theater that I try to go
to. No, it's actually
to see.
Not. Okay, the snacks are like super rich, but the tickets are actually cheaper than like
AMC. $80 to get a bottle of water. And yeah. then it's one of those like European bottles where it's yeah. like really yeah. slim.
One time they were out of flat water and they're like, oh, we just have sparkling water. Like, can I have a cup for the water fountain?
It's one of those rich people theaters with reserved seats. So yeah. it's like you pick your seat when you get your tickets. But it's what I like about it is it's walking distance from my house, and I don't want to compromise my OPSEC.
Nope.
It is. And I can reserve seats for a large group so we all sit together, and then we just show up like 2 seconds before the trailers are over and we're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But
can I ask a question?
But well, hang on, let me get through my gripe first. So what's cool about it is it puts your tickets into Apple Wallet, and then mm-hmm. the QR code can be scanned by the boy at the gate.
Yeah,
but
gate boy.
But if I don't go in and manually clear those tickets out of Apple Wallet, a year later they're still in there. Why? Why isn't there a piece of the metadata of something being added to Apple Wallet expires? You don't need a fucking picture of a fake movie ticket a year later.
I actually think so. This is annoying. My boarding passes never go away. But
yeah,
same thing
for me.
I always thought that was annoying until one time I had like a weird delay and a transfer, and it was actually helpful, and I was glad that it was still there. But I think most movie things expire. But I've got like
mine don't. Mine, really? I had the one with Ray was in there until I removed it like a month ago. Which I kind of kept around just out of like...
It's also like...
Which one is that? Force Awakens? I had the Force Awakens in there. I had two Baby Drivers. I got two Spider-Mans, Homecoming, Spider-Mans. Yeah, I for the AMC ones, you have to delete it yourself for sure.
Oh, see, I think this might be because I am an AMC Stubbs Premier member. And that
Stubbs
maybe,
Premier.
Yeah.
Stubbs.
Stubbs. So the like big turns out of this is I very, very rarely actually take out my wallet because most of the time
I
have the Siri or the Siri Zero, so it's kind of spotty for me. I usually just pay with my phone. And now I don't know when they did this, but now like whenever you open your wallet, even if you've got your brightness really low, it glows.
Yeah.
And
if you swipe from left to right, it opens it up and makes a total brightness. I love that.
It's just really, really great. And I
did you ever work with the little hacky things where you can make your own cards for it?
Oh, mine actually immediately. So do you mean?
But
like
there's like websites that there's websites and probably apps, but there's websites where you can go and generate your own cards of different kinds, whether that's for, well, let's find out about this Apple Wallet card. And it's pretty cool. I've done it. Like if you want to make a Safeway card or something like that, you can make a lot of them yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I've done that with Walgreens. And also now,
wait, what?
You
can make your own loyalty cards and put them into the.
No, yeah. I deleted Walgreens cause it kept going off every time I got near a Walgreens, but you're right. Yeah. But there's like different types and these sites will walk. Here we go. PassSource. Is that one formerly Passbook?
Do you ever get into that loop where something's happening and you're trying to unlock your phone? You're like, fuck, I need to make a call. And you're a little too eager, and you hit your phone button, and you're trying to like make it go, and it's like, did you want your Apple Wallet? And you're like,
I turned that off.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
And you hit the home button, but then it goes back to Apple Wallet, and you get caught in a loop, and you can't get out of it. It makes me want to throw my phone down on the.
And then I lose all my notifications, and some notifications hang around after you unlock, and other notifications go away. The Google Voice notifications go away once you unlock the screen. It's like I just broke three things trying to answer a phone call.
I get
cucked so hard by trying to unlock my phone and getting caught in a loop of Apple Wallet.
You can just turn that off. Like,
yeah, but then it's convenient. But then the other thing is if you wait, you're in the line, you have your shit at the Walgreens, you're about to get up to the counter, you want to get ready. It's like, I don't want to fucking, listen, that's why I keep my phone screen in, button up, I quick draw, pow, pow.
All right.
Double
all
tap.
Right. Fair enough.
Card
fair
up
enough.
To the thing. I'm in and out. I don't want anyone, because here's the thing. If you fumble that, you look like a fucking idiot. You look like the nutty professor, right? Because everyone's like, "Oh, look at this fucking dingus trying to get his phone to tap on
the
thing."
Oh, it's the worst. Like, you get it right on the get around the first try, and you're cool guy. get it wrong on the get it wrong by the fifth try, you're the dweeb.
Oh, like, my you God. Really look like you a look dork. Like...
Just a minute. I believe I could bring up the credentials on my phone watch if you could just... I'm sorry, everyone behind me waiting to buy their medicines and whatnot. And I just have to do a swipe from the left to the right. Should bring it up quite nicely. I'm having problems. Apparently, I'm trying to log in and I've lost my Google Voice notifications.
Okay.
Just one more minute.
Our argument... So in term... Here's my... reason why it's way better to use Apple Wallet now, because everyone finally has a chip card. Like, everybody's fumbling, everything's making terrible noises, so really most of the time you just put your phone there and then the cashier doesn't even like oh it's done, and it's almost like there's a little glint of relief in their eyes because they don't have to hear
being stuck behind a millennium who's buying like a pack of sugar-free gum with a chip card. It's like, can't you just have $5 in your wallet? Like, why do we have to wait for this? It drives me crazy.
Oh, I do not carry cash in my wallet. Oh, actually, no. I carry
that
a single $100 bill in case I get locked out of my apartment and need to get a shady locksmith to come, which has happened.
Oh, shady locksmith at your service.
Yeah.
$101.
Chip card adoption is very bad. I would say like 60% of the places I go, there's a little slot on the thing for chip cards, mm-hmm. but then a piece of like duct tape over it, and it says like, we don't take chip cards yet. Coming soon.
Do not use this. Yeah, Jonah Stearns did a great video on that. And then they're slowly fixing the whole map problem, but it's still real. Like, you walk into Safeway, which I do now about twice a year, thanks to Instacart.
Oh, what do you mean where it makes the... Where it sets off
the
fucking alarm
because you successfully
paid?
The sound of success
paid.
Is... Yeah, it's like,
you've successfully issued your payment.
Yeah.
20 seconds to comply.
It's like the bitchiest robot duck. Oh, God.
How's the burgers?
I'm going to town on these fries. They're so good.
I sent you, you guys go hog wild on the burgers. I sent you some of mine. I sent you my favorite that there's other ways to do this. Still the easiest way to write on Muni and BART is to use what's called a Clipper card, which is just one of these refillable credit size cards, and you can refill it online with just cash. And so, but you can see my daughter and I modded our cards probably 5 years ago. Yeah. So she's Cap and I'm Iron Man, and we both made our own cards. And yeah, I got a credit card. So what did I send you? So there's my tile. There's my, in case my daughter goes missing, card. And there's a note that she wrote.
Wait. Okay. That is one adorable. And is your tongue sticking out? Do you got a little blep there, or is it just?
I think so. Look at how it's the two of us.
No, what's that for that note?
That's
is that?
Just that's real darn cute.
What is this?
I don't have legs. She didn't grant me legs. I'm stick boy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this note. Can you explain what I'm looking at here?
What, does this need
okay, I'm sorry. I don't own a child, so I don't know all of the accessories that come with it.
Well,
it's
okay,
some sort of ID card.
Well, I do have a question about that.
And it says, if your child goes missing...
I am curious about this. What does this? I'm trying not to make fun of this. This seems like a really important thing. What does this do?
Yeah. Well, if your child is missing and you're losing your mind, you hand it to the cop and they say, this is the one that's missing. And then they have a picture and they have information and they can use the codes on there to go look up stuff to get identifying information in case they, you know, got to find it.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So there's two codes. There's an A code and a B code. What do those do? It pulls up some sort of file?
A code calls up available information and B code. We're not even allowed to know what it does.
Oh.
Now, I don't know. I have no idea. They gave it to us with their fucking photos. So I put it in my wallet.
Where did this card come from? The school?
The school-sanctioned photos persons. Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of thing they sell.
Oh, my God.
All right. I have a question. So, actual question for both of you. Do you not carry any sort of identification of, like, if I'm in a car accident, if I'm...
I need to do that. My wife got something for her Apple Watch, and I'll find out if you want it. She runs a lot. So she got this really cool thing. She slides onto the band of her Apple Watch, and it's got all that info on it, like in case she, like, trips on a trail or gets hit by a trailer.
Say more about this. Is this if I get abducted?
My thing is, like, you know, if you're in a car crash, it's the whole, like, ice thing, which now cops and, like, firemen or fire people, firefighters, are trained to, like, look for that on your phone.
I think they're called Fire Americans, Alex.
I don't want to steal valor from the fire people.
Like those goddamn neo-Nazis. You're not in the SS, you piece of shit. How dare you wear that?
No, I've actually got this David Clark enamel pin of the Everything Is Fine dog, so that means I'm a firefighter.
Mm. Oh. Cannot become addicted to enamel.
And anyway, hot life hack from overly medicated Alex Cox. You can put a medical ID in Apple Health, and it's super, like, it's. Oh, yeah. I think it's super helpful.
That. I've done that.
What does this do for you?
It has all of your medications, allergies, emergency contacts, and if you're like an organ donor, and it actually,
I got blood,
like, verifies,
blood type,
like,
weight.
You
ooh,
can
my weight
you
has
can
changed.
Put in yeah like your weight, and it actually, a lot of times, if, like, people have on their license, like, organ donor, lots of states won't they can't honor that because of some law, whereas this one has, like, okay, you are registered with the Donate Life Organ Registry, so yeah, take my eyeballs.
That's good to know. I've got that on my ID, but I don't have it in Apple. I'm also gonna
see,
it inside of my wallet.
I've got in my wallet Illinois driver's license. I normally carry around my Illinois firearm owner's ID, my FOID card, which is a valid form of, it's a secondary valid form of, like, hard government issued ID. And you can, most states, you can get a FOID card, whether you own a firearm or not, for like $5 from the sheriff's office.
Hmm.
I have my Cards Against Humanity American Express card. I have my credit card that I got under duress, basically, because I had to have a credit card. And I got a Chase Sapphire preferred card. I have my debit card for my bank. I have a Square Cash card.
Oh,
do you guys get that shit?
Yeah, it's great. Have it on my Apple Watch, though.
So the deal with this is if you use the Cash App, put in Pod Save America to save $5 when you sign up for the Cash App. I don't like when I can discernibly recognize on podcast music that it's a GarageBand loop. But basically, on the Cash App, you can just get a free debit card tied to your Cash App. So what's cool about this is I got this because when I buy something from a sketchy website where I don't 100% trust it, let's say some sort of provider for a hypothetical file sharing protocol or something like that. I don't know. Something that's a little bit sketchy. I know I wouldn't be into that, but that's
You're talking about the HFSP? Hypothetical file sharing protocol?
That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't do any of that. But if I did, the way I would pay for it is on my Cash card, because, listen, I can see I have $48 in my Cash account. So it's like, if that card is compromised or whatever, it's like big whoop, it's $48. Then I've got my Blue Cross.
This is Square, not Stripe, but Square, correct?
Yes. Okay, and also cool. He got Square it because cash. Alex told him to.
Look at, oh shit, I dropped it in my burger. Look at the little picture on the card.
Did you do that? Yeah. Oh my God. All right. We're gonna compromise Max's security, and he has a little picture of Captain Jane. Oh God, that's so God.
Oh, how cute is that?
I just have my dumb signature that I practiced for a half hour.
If my cat goes missing, I simply pull this card out of my wallet and I swipe it to purchase a new cat. And then I have my AAA card. In case I ever need to, if I get into an accident and there's an emergency, you call AAA to wait for 2 hours, and then maybe or maybe not, they'll send a tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it happens.
Push that car around.
And then I have my card, that my key, that my fob that gets me into the office. So that's it. Pretty light.
Nice.
I don't think we have time for this, but I think a future challenge is the key challenge. Because listen to this. It's a disaster.
I got nothing.
I know. Yeah.
I don't have any keys.
It wouldn't be a good challenge. It would be Alex complaining that she has to have too many keys.
Alex, did you? I'm totally in on that. I have two keys. Did you see my tape ends?
Your what?
The inside of my wallet I sent you?
Oh, yes.
Every time my daughter starts a new roll of tape, she gives me the tape end.
That's really okay. Well, that's adorable. If it was not your daughter, I would be very concerned about the hoarder activity.
Girls are
pretty. Why is your daughter opening this many rolls of tape?
You don't have a kid.
Crafts.
You wouldn't know. Why would I explain it to you? Do you have any idea how much tape a child uses? How many rolls a child loses? How many rolls a child uses? How many rolls a child loses? And the ends go in my wallet by my ass.
Two questions. Do you carry cash? And what is this little bunny on the inside of a wallet?
God,
the,
you guys are so freaking weird. I feel no need to answer this.
There's a little...
Because things cost money, and it is a nuisance to use cards for everything. Mm-hmm. So I generally keep a couple $100 in 20s, and I keep a 10, a 5, and a 1 to the extent possible.
Mm. How do you refill? Like, do you, like, make regular trips to the ATM, or what?
OPSEC.
Okay, gotcha.
I have this problem. I like having a little cash. Like, I usually like to carry, like, two 20s on me, you know. I don't know. Like,
it's ignorant not to have some cash with you.
No, well,
it's absolutely ignorant.
When you go to a bar or something, like, it sucks to, like, tip on the card. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's always not. You just want to, like, slide a couple of bucks to the bartender, like a cool guy.
Yeah.
And
tips are actually a really good use case. Like, if there's an open bar, you just drop a 5.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But I never get cash. Like, it's so inconvenient for me to get cash.
This is going to have to be one of those agreeing on cheese things, because I think it's creepy how much we depend on electronics for even small purchases.
No,
it's weird.
I agree with that. I would like to use more cash. All I'm saying is it's inconvenient to get cash.
Millennial life hack. If you're at a bar and there's an open bar and then you feel really guilty because you don't have any cash, you can ask your weird cash friends to tip for you and then Square Cash or Venmo them money, which I do a lot.
That's a hell of a way to live.
Yep.
Did we cover the wallet stuff pretty well?
I think so. I think you guys have to say something. Oh, no. I want to know about the bunny. It's so
cute. Oh, yeah.
Why
is there a little puffy bunny sticker?
Well, my daughter gave me a sticker. I needed
a
place to put it.
She's real good at gifts.
She's a good little kid.
Mm. Now, this wallet says embroidered, and the inside it says, one world, one wallet. Rejoice. It's a living beverage. Why does it say that?
I'll file a bug.
And then if you zoom in real close, right in the middle.
you can see my reflection in the grommet.
If you zoom in really close, right in the middle, in between where it says one world, one wallet, mm-hmm. there's this sort of cross stitching of the yellow, and then real small beneath that, what does it say?
I never realized this. It says wallet. Wait a minute. I never realized that's a logo.
Oh.
It says taxi. I never realized it till right now.
Taxi wallets.
Oh, I get it. It says taxi wallet. Okay, cool.
All right. And you also, what kind of snap is that? I didn't know
adults snap.
Had snap wallets. I'm not making a judgment. Just
says the person who doesn't carry cash. I just have my friends tip for me.
You know, Merlin, this kind of looks like the clamshell tricorder from Star Trek: Next Generation.
Mm. Boop, boop, boop.
Like, you could talk.
Well,
into this
is
like
if you've
phone.
Ever seen that phone guy. You know, this is it.
Wait, this is the phone guy. This is the wallet.
Well, yeah, and it might be a replacement for that particular one, but this is the style. If you want an actual, if you want a feature wallet, this is what you got to use. I'm sorry, I got to take this. I got to hang on just one second.
Yeah. No, a bunch of fucking dipshits. No, that's the other one. No, the other one. No, shorter. No. No rat. Will. I like to run the motor on that one. Run the motor. Run. I literally can't hear anything you're saying. Hello?
I look. Welcome back.
All my fanfic is coming true.